that sometimes when I present the gospel, I feel like a rich man. Because I've got something for everybody. And the reason I've got something for everybody is because God has something for everybody here tonight. God's heart is to bless everyone here tonight. And it's my privilege just to be the delivery man. Let's start with hymn number 34. Hymn number 34. Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. It's my hope and prayer that this hymn will mean more to you 45 minutes from now than it does now. Number 34. Precious, precious. I'd like to read one scripture that's been on my mind today. Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's the word of God. And we might be tempted to despise the Word of God. You say, this is an old book. Yes, it is. But it's never been proved wrong, because it can't be. It's the Word of God. Everything God says He will do, He does. And we're going to see that tonight. But think about these words while we pray. Our God and Father, we call upon Thee, because this is a day of trouble. There are maybe souls in here tonight who are in trouble and don't know it. And there may be souls in here tonight, our God and Father, who suspect they're in trouble but won't admit it. And we thank Thee there are souls in this room tonight who know that we're engaged in spiritual warfare. And in that sense, we all face tonight a day of trouble. And so we ask Your help, Your work, by Your word, by Your spirit, by Your grace, in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about death and deliverance. Everyone in this room faces death. Not only physical death, but everyone here has, at least in the past, faced the issue of spiritual death. The scripture says, "Is it appointed unto man once to die?" And if that's all that scripture said, a lot of people would be relieved. And even though they don't know, they may not know what else scripture says, people fear to die because they are afraid there is something after death, and scripture confirms it. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. This life is not all there is. This is just the beginning. Tonight, everyone here, it's like you're in a big waiting room, like in a bus station or an airport. And the time will come to leave. And the question is, where are you going? What ticket do you have right now? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. I presume that most here are familiar with the story of the bondage of the children of Israel in Egypt. We're going to read briefly about how God arranged for their deliverance. But the very night of their deliverance was also the night of death for those that weren't delivered. Exodus chapter, excuse me, I said Exodus and turned to Genesis. That didn't work well. Exodus chapter 12. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it, according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that day roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, nor roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Now I want you to notice the most important piece of instruction here. Verse 7, it says, "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." This was crucial. Why? Because God said, "When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over." This is a historical fact. This happened. This is an incident in history. This actually happened. There were people who didn't believe it could happen. And they found out that what God had said he would do, he did. There are people today who laugh at the thought of God's judgment. They say, well, I can take it or leave it. And we will find that there were those in Egypt who some took it and some left it. And it made all the difference whether they died or were delivered. Now, notice what it says here. You may say, well, this is just a story. This is history. It happened. What has it got to do with me? Notice what it says here in verse 12. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. That little phrase, this night, brings to mind a story Jesus told. I want to take a minute to look at that in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. The Lord Jesus was talking to his own people. When he told this story, they would have been familiar with this deliverance from Egypt. Matter of fact, they celebrated every year the Feast of Passover. So when the Lord Jesus mentioned this to his hearers in Luke chapter 12, they were familiar with what happened on the evening that God called this night. It has an individual application. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, beware of covetousness. Verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods, my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And God has a this night for every soul here. It could be this night. God is confronting you with this issue tonight, this night. But there may become an ultimate this night as well, beyond which there is no option. This man had his life all figured out. And maybe you've come here and you've been enjoying your life, enjoying your time here and thinking you've got things all figured out. When deep in your heart, you know you really don't. But you like to think so. What was wrong with this man's plans? He had the same problem that the Egyptians had. He left God out. And God says unto this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? What good are things when you're dead? A young man said to me some years ago, and he said, I live for thrills. That's what he lived for, thrills. And what good do thrills do you in the end? What's thrilling about lying in a casket? Life is more. I'm going to read you a little poem here. Pardon me, for my memory's not much better than my eyes. Life is neither game nor dream, but true as God who gives it. Life is more than it may seem, and he who knows God lives it. Lost is neither thought nor deed. Time's record God is keeping. Time we have for planting seed, eternity for reaping. Life is neither game nor dream. Don't pretend that your life is a dream or a game. It's real. Every second of it is a second that God has given you and a second for which He will hold you responsible. Let's go back to Exodus 12. And so God passed over Egypt that night, and He looked for the blood. And He came to a house. You know, sometimes we can read stories like this and they don't touch us. We don't realize that as God went over Egypt that night, in house after house, there was agony because the blood was not on the door. And you say, well, maybe they didn't know, and it's possible they didn't. But had they befriended the people of God, they might have known. They had the opportunity. This was the 10th plague. God had brought 9 plagues on Egypt, trying to speak to Pharaoh and to the people to demonstrate who was God and who was not. And they were not. Tonight, my friend, you're dealing with God. You're not dealing with me. You're not dealing with anybody else here. You're dealing with God. You've got to deal with God. He requires it. You're going to meet Him someday. And there were souls that died that night. Lots of them. Because the blood wasn't on the door. Tonight we sang, precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels. Is there a rebel sitting in your seat? Then you can say it was shed for me. Scripture tells us, we won't turn to it, you've probably heard it repeated many times, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, how does that happen? How can it work? I can't explain it to you. But I believe what God says. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. And He said, where the blood isn't, He was going to judge. God's word is good. God is worth believing. God is not worth doubting. Well, you know, I mentioned the thought that maybe there were some in Egypt that night who maybe they saw one of their Israelite neighbors putting blood on the door. And they said, what's that for? And maybe the Israelite told them. Well, you know, maybe it's too late for them to go out and get the lamb and keep it for the prescribed time. But God, what was the real issue? There was a right way to do things, but the real issue was there blood on the door? The issue tonight is, are you covered with the blood of Christ? Did Jesus shed His blood for you? Are you saved? Are you redeemed? Scripture says we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. God says He gave the blood upon the altar. It's not our business to ask why or how. If a policeman stops you for speeding, do you argue with him about why or how? No, he has authority. God has authority. God's word has authority. And you're going to meet Him. It's best. Because God loves you. If you know, I people say, if God is so good, why would He send anybody to hell? And I say, if God is so good, that He loves you so much that because He is love and sent Christ to die for you, why would you choose to go to hell? Why would anyone choose that? And so, there were some, I'm sure there were some in Israel that night, who perhaps with fear and trembling put blood on the door. They didn't know, they didn't have the experience perhaps of the faith that some of the other Israelites did. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of rejoicing that night in Egypt. There were houses in which people were looking forward to the deliverance they knew was going to come. They'd seen God perform His miracles in Egypt. They had grown in their confidence in God, and they were eating and dressed ready to go in their houses. But there were some, I'm sure, who, because I know people, who aren't quite sure. Not very bright in that house. And I apologize if some of you can't see my illustrations. They're designed for smaller groups. But in some houses, there was real rejoicing. They had confidence in God. And there were some who I think were inside trembling, but they had the blood on the door because they respected the Word of God. And there might be some here tonight, you're not sure. Who are you not sure of? Who are you not sure of? You can trust God. He wants you to rejoice in believing, have joy in believing. But at the very least, believe. Now let me ask you a question. What was the experience in this first house? Plain and simple, death. My friend, if you're facing eternity, if you're facing life without the blood of Christ, that's who you're facing. You're facing death. Well, how about the people who were not so sure? They just, you know, feelings are significant things. God gave us feelings. God has feelings. But sometimes we get feelings and faith confused. Faith is simply accepting what God has, what God says. Feelings are the tail on the dog. Don't follow your feelings. Trust God. Who is safer? Which house was a better house to be in as far as safety is concerned? We know this house here, 100% safe. Because the blood was on the door. And the same is true there. Because the blood makes a difference. Salvation is of the Lord. God does the work. God makes the provision. Just as surely as He said, I will pass over Egypt this night, He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So, which house are you in tonight? You're in one of these three houses tonight. You're under condemnation of death. Or you're trusting, but maybe you're confused. I want to tell you, it isn't the amount of faith you have, it's who you have faith in. There's a boat out there. People go on boat rides. Do you worry about how much faith you have when you get in the boat? No. Someone says, you can. This been using that boat for years, you can get in it and trust it, and you just simply get in. You don't worry about how much faith you have in the boat. You get in the boat. The same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be occupied with how much faith you have. And don't be occupied with your feelings. Just trust what God says and what God has done. Now, I'd like to very briefly talk about three life basics. I told you I had something for everybody here tonight, because God has something for everybody here tonight. If you go away disappointed tonight, it's not God's fault. What made that house a bad house to be in? It was the lack of the blood. The blood makes the difference. The blood makes me safe. Again, I'll repeat that verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, God can't keep me out of heaven. I belong there. How about you? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, well, but you don't know what I've done, and you don't know how my life is. No, I don't. That's why we have a Savior. That's why Jesus died. That's why we need a deliverer. And He makes the difference. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us who believe from all sin. Blanket statement. 100% trustworthy. How do I know? People say, this is, I've been had the privilege for a number of years of speaking to young people in detention center, in a detention center near Chicago, on a weekly basis, and so often I'll start a question and answer session by asking, do you believe that a person can know where they're going before they die? And almost every time somebody will pipe up and say, no, I don't believe that. Don't believe a person can know. And the answer is, yes, you can know. God sent Jesus, and God gave us a book. God gave us His Word. And the Word of God makes me sure. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. And this is not, I'm just going to reference to one verse. You'll notice I haven't used very many verses tonight. The gospel is basically simple. The truth, the basic truths of God are simple. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Maybe we'll, since we have a little bit of time, we'll go back a little bit in the chapter. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. We receive the witness of men all the time. There was somebody up here a while ago said that there was supper up the over there. And everybody believed him. They went and got it. We do it all the time. We see this rectangular sign. Octagonal sign. Red sign says stop. That's a witness of men. Men put that sign up. And we see it and we stop. And we look for speed signs. And matter of fact, I had a new experience today coming along Route 30. My wife's cell phone kept telling us there were speed traps ahead. I believed it. We receive the witness of men. We do it on a regular basis. It says here, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Why? Two reasons, because God's greater and He never makes a mistake. We followed my wife's cell phone was supposedly supposed to bring us here today. I mean, I've been here many times before, and I had directions, written directions, but I thought we'd try and see how well her cell phone could do it. And we ended up on the other side of the lake. The witness of God is greater, and this is the witness which he has testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son has the witness in himself. If you accepted what God has said, you have the witness in yourself. Isn't that amazing? He that believes not God has made him a liar. Are you willing to make God out to be a liar? You willing to say that even in your heart, that God's a liar? Because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's that simple. If you receive Jesus, you got the whole deal. It's a package deal. You got life. You got cleansing. You got deliverance. So verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Not hope, not wish, not think. No, God wants you to know. This whole book that God gave us, he gave it to us because he wants us to know. Isn't it amazing that God wants us to know what he knows? Some of us think we know already. We don't. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. Neither are your ways my ways. You want to know God? Read the book. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So the Word of God makes me sure. And anytime you start doubting, and we all do now and then, go back to the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want faith? Here's where you get it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God wants you not only to be safe, but he wants you to be sure. And there's something else God wants. People don't believe this. God does want you to be happy. Heaven is going to be eternal happiness on God's terms. Holy happiness, happy holiness, something we can't even imagine. God wants you to be happy. Well, what makes us happy down here? Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 17. If you know these things. Oh, no. Well, we just talked about knowing. He says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. What's that? That's obedience. And that's common sense. Let me ask you, is your home characterized by obedience or disobedience? And if and when it's characterized by disobedience, is that a happy home? The answer is no. You know, it's interesting. I deal with juvenile delinquents all the time. And they are known for their disobedience, but you ask them, does obedience, if all my children are obedient, do I have a happy home? And they said, yes. How, has that been their experience? No. But they know. Obedience brings happiness. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus. And now you have the three keys to life. And you go from death which is the end, the awful end, to the deliverance that God gives, which is something that develops and blossoms forever. What's it going to be? What house are you in tonight? And are you going to stay there? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you above all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we ask that you will impress these truths on each heart here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.